Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
You're tuned in to Spiritual Wellness with Sonia Cole, airing every second Saturday, 2 to 2:30pm on Wellington Access Radio, 783am. Good afternoon, everyone. Today I'm going to be interviewing Leanne Babcock Ekman. She's a dear friend of mine and she's been running spiritual workshops for some time. And I thought it'd be a really nice thing to let you know how other people are stepping out in the world, how they're following their heart and their intuition and moving on into practices that might not always fit with everyone in the mainstream, but with those that are seeking more passion in their life, then they tend to come to people like Leanne to say, how have you done this and what are you doing and I want to learn from you and how do I start? So she teaches intuitive workshops. She does it on a monthly basis, meditation evenings. She also does 10-week classes and even weekend retreats. But what we're going to do today is listen to Leanne talk to us about her passions and how she's got to where she's going, and what her future heart is asking her to do. So welcome, Leanne.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'd first like to start with saying that I started on this journey when I was very young. I was 12 years old, actually even younger than that. I used to see auras and hear voices, and I remember being at school one day staring at the teacher, and I could see this white thing following her, and I looked to the boy beside me and I said, what's that white thing following her? And he just looked at me like I was crazy. So I realized that I could see things and hear things that other people didn't. And I was lucky enough to find a spiritual program when I was 12 and began studying intuition, practicing intuition, leading groups, talking with my spirit guides. And so the journey has been a very rewarding and lifelong journey for me. So I'd like to talk about following your heart, because really that's the path that we're on right now, really, on planet Earth at this time. And you know, following our heart, firstly distinguish the difference between our emotional heart and our heart center or our spiritual heart. So I'm meaning not the emotional heart, you know, where, you know, you fall in love with somebody and you have a lot of chemicals going off in your body and you want to go there. And that's one kind of following your heart. And that is really lovely, and that's just not specifically what I'm talking about, although that may be part of following your heart, is heading towards a new relationship. Although what I'm referring to when I say follow your heart is more that it's from your heart center, and I keep pointing to that area. It's like your inner guidance, your intuition, your higher self, that quiet inner voice. It gets called many different things, but it's that part of you that, when you take the time to slow down and listen, that you can feel it, you can hear it. It's that part of you that when you go to do something and it doesn't quite feel right, and you can't explain why, that's that part of you. And so, following your heart really is, it's a pathway that takes a lot of courage. Just recently, I left my marriage and my home, my surroundings. I woke up one morning and what was in my heart, I could hear this voice that said, it's time to leave. And my head was just going crazy. What do you mean? Leave what? Leave my marriage? Leave my home? Leave what? And that voice said, the decision's been made. And I couldn't reason it. There was no logic behind it. And there was just a feeling of truth and simplicity about it. And I did even think maybe if I ignored it, it would go away. And I knew that if I did that, I would probably get sick, or resentment would build up, and then I would end up creating a situation where I would then be justified to take the action that was there in my heart, which was to leave. And yet there was nothing wrong. So there was nothing wrong with my marriage. There was, just nothing wrong, really. And so it took a huge level of trust, and I had no plan, and I didn't know where I was going to. I just knew that there was the first step, which was to leave. And in the midst of that, there were many people who judged me, dear friends as well. And so it was also a journey of not only listening to my heart, but letting go of all of the expectations and hopes I had of people who would be there to support me, or the way that I wanted things to unfold. So it takes a lot of courage to follow one's heart. And I have to say that in taking that step, I have never felt so uplifted and so supported by the universe, really. And so strong and grounded in myself, I knew that I had done the right thing. I really, really did. And, when I meditated on it and I asked Spirit for some guidance, like, why on earth did I marry this man in the first place if this wasn't, for the rest of our lives? Because that's what we'd planned and that's what it felt like. And they showed me a vision. And in this vision, my husband and I were walking on a path that the two of us had created together. And it was a good path. It was a strong path. And the path then verged into two. And we were right at that point of it verging. And I turned to him and I said, "This is the time when I leave this path and I go on this other path, my soulmate." And I realized it was nothing more complicated than that. And as souls, my husband and I had come together to actually help each other, to help each other follow our hearts, and to create a whole new path for our lives that wouldn't have been created had we not come together and helped each other. And that contract was now complete. It was complete and it felt good. And it was right. And so it made me also reflect an awful lot about relationships, which is maybe something we could talk about another time. But I really do want to say that, our hearts, may be telling us things like, it's time to find a new job, or it's time to take some different action, or it's time to follow a different road, or it's time to speak out. And the thoughts in our head tell us that wouldn't be smart, or we shouldn't do that, or you should commit for the rest of your life, or you should keep that job because you're earning good money, or you should or shouldn't. And, our lives are full of should and shouldn'ts. It's all in our cultural paradigm. Our culture tells us what we should do and what it should look like. And when, to follow your heart doesn't follow our cultural rules. Our heart follows Spirit. And, I think when we don't listen to that, and when we don't follow our heart's calling, our heart's longing, I really do believe that, this can many times be even the cause of depression. People get sad and deeply depressed because they're just not following what's really in their heart, what's really in their spirit. Again, it's also a big journey on trust, because when you have so much logic and reason telling you one thing to go in one direction or to do one thing, and then here is your heart saying something which has no reason, which is totally, it might be, it's not always, but it might be just so not aligned with our cultural shoulds. What do you do when you're in that situation? And, you know, I can only share for myself in that I have committed myself and my life to following my heart, and I haven't always done that. I can share many times when I haven't. And they've always been wonderful, great learning lessons, which clearly I needed because I wasn't finished learning that lesson, you know. But I have been more recently practicing, you know, just following my heart and trusting. I have an example. I have just finished a 2-month spiritual pilgrimage around the world, and I had that day I was flying from London to New York via Philadelphia, and before I would make any flights, I always would sit down. I would call in my spirit guides, and I would picture the whole flight connections and paths in white light. And I did that. Everything was in white light. And I put white light into the planes. So I knew that my path was clear. There was just one thing, though, because as I looked at my connecting flights, there was only 2 hours of connecting time in Philadelphia, which when coming from an international flight, arriving from London into Philadelphia and then connecting to a flight in New York, and I needed to go to a terminal which was at the furthest end of the terminal where I would be arriving. 2 hours just wasn't enough. It didn't allow for possible delays, but it wasn't enough even if everything was smooth. And my head is trying to work it out, and it is not making sense. But everything is showing up in white light. So I asked the angels. I said, so am I going to make that connection? And they said, yes. And I said, well, will you help me? And they said, we're working on it. And so, okay, just trust, let go, trust. And my head is going, oh my God, you're not going to make this flight. That is just not possible. So I arrive in Philadelphia, and I get through customs and immigration, and I recheck my bag. But the woman won't take my bag, and she is telling me what I need to do with my bag, and somehow my brain goes all foggy, and I don't understand anything that she says. And I'm looking at my watch, and I only have half an hour now to get to the terminal, which is the furthest one away, and I don't know how I'm going to do that. But I don't understand her. What I did understand, I made her repeat it 3 times, the poor woman, and I still didn't understand. And I understood only to take my luggage to security, and then I had to then take it to a woman over there. Well, the terminal's huge. I don't see any woman over there, and there's no sign. So I take my luggage to security because that's all I understand. And these, you know, big burly men put it on this machine, and I'm standing there feeling completely lost. This other security guard comes by and he says, are you going to Terminal F? And I said, yes. And he said, well, it's this way, in pointing in the opposite direction of where this other woman was supposedly supposed to be, who I couldn't see. And I said, but she told me to go that way. And he shrugged and walked off. And he obviously knows where he's going, so I just followed him. And not realizing I'd left my luggage stranded in the middle of the floor in Philadelphia Terminal, completely oblivious of that. And I arrive to where I'm supposed to catch a shuttle, because the shuttle you needed to take to get to this faraway terminal, and that takes half an hour. There are hundreds of people waiting to go through security first before you catch the shuttle. So this is now really not possible to get to my flight on time. And I stood there, and I just said, angels, please help. And this other security guard, amongst the 100 people, he looks at me, directly at me, and he says, only in a voice loud enough for me to hear, is anyone going to Terminal F? And I said, yes, and I raised my hand, me. Nobody else raised their hand because they couldn't hear him, and there must have been heaps of people going to Terminal F. So I went to him, showed him my ticket, and he said, you're not going to make your flight if you stay here. Here's what you can do. Go down those stairs go outside and take the employee's shuttle to Terminal F. Then you can go through security once you get there. Well, I did that, and I got to Terminal F in about 10 or 15 minutes. And I was just on cloud nine. I just completely trusted. And I got to New York, waiting for my luggage to get off, and obviously, no luggage. And it's starting to dawn on me what I did with my luggage. And I decided that I guess this part of my journey was all about letting go. And so I went to baggage claim. There was a long lineup, and by the time I got there, the young man at the desk was clearly tired and said, "All right, we've lost your luggage. It's our fault. What's your flight?" And I looked at him, and I just said, "Angels, please help him." And I said, "You know, you guys didn't lose my luggage, and it's not your fault. I did something really silly." And I told him what I did. And he looked at me, and he got on the computer. And he wanted to see if my luggage had actually got picked up anywhere and located. And sure enough, someone had actually picked up my luggage and got it on a flight. Bless their heart. So security hadn't picked it up and blown it up or something. But the only thing is that it went to San Diego, which isn't where I was. So I looked at him and I said, "You know, I know that my luggage will eventually get here, but I'm just here for 2 days, and I'm concerned that it won't make it here in time before I catch my next flight to Arizona. And I know that if I am to get my luggage here, that it's going to take a lot of extra effort on your part, and I know that." He took one look at me, and he said, "Leave it with me." So I did, knowing also that the angels were with him, and I did get my luggage back with this huge sign on it saying urgent. So, you know, all of that happened just so effortlessly, and there's no way that my brain could possibly have planned any of that. And I'm clear that the whole thing was, you know, an experience and practice and trust. You know, trusting my heart, trusting the flow of spirit. You see, our heads, our brains can't, you know, oftentimes they cause more problems than help. Our brain isn't meant to lead the way. It isn't meant to analyze and to tell us which way to go. You know, that journey really is our heart. It was meant to be our heart all along, and we're just coming back to that. And the only purpose our heads, our brains are for is to help us organize. They're computers. That's what they are, and we run them. We just forget that sometimes. And so, but our heads cannot, they can't figure out and plan where we're headed now. There are too many changes happening on the planet right now. There's so much energy coming onto planet Earth. We only have to look around at, and read about, you know, earthquakes and tsunamis and floods and tornadoes. That's just a physical manifestation of really what's happening inside of us. You know, so inside of us, that energy is earthquaking as well, and some of us feel it more than others. But I mean, change is happening, and that's been a slogan for some time. Well, it isn't going to stop. And actually, change is just happening more and faster. Our brains can't keep up. And our brains aren't meant to. You know, it's like trying to go faster. I mean, I don't know, have you ever experienced that trying to go faster and faster and faster, and you just can't keep up? And it's like, well, stop. Stop trying to figure it out, and stop trying to go faster, and actually simply follow your heart. And the experience is one of slowing down, which is kind of counter to we feel we've got to go faster to get it all done. But when we slow down and come into our hearts, there's a wisdom, a deep, deep wisdom that we have access to that our brains just don't have access to. And we find that we are just naturally following our instincts, our intuition. And that intuition can come in through many ways. It can come in through visions that we get. It can come in through voices that we hear. It can come in through just a knowing or even feeling. You know, sometimes I actually just feel myself being pulled in a particular direction, even physically. And I just follow that. And I know that the more and more that I practice following my heart, the stronger or the clearer or the louder it becomes. On my journey on my spiritual pilgrimage, I spent some time in Arizona with a shaman, and I spent a night on my own, solo, in the desert, which was all part of the training. And it was an extraordinary experience, to have experienced a storm and, a sunset that was just magical, and the ravens and the crickets and possibly a coyote, which I didn't see. It was just a beautiful experience. And when dawn came, I could hear the drum beating of the shaman. So she was waiting on the road for me, and that was the signal for me to pack up and go back. So I packed up all my things, and feeling quite satisfied with the journey I had just had. And it would take me about 10 to 15 minutes to walk back to the road where she was waiting for me. And I headed back to find the path, and I could not find the path. Now, maybe it got washed out by the storm. I don't know. I entered every break in the bush I could find, hoping that would lead me to the path. And each time I hit a dead end, and I came back. So 10 minutes went by of this, and I then started to panic, which I really didn't want to do. I'd already had so much training and practice and following my heart and my intuition, and not to mention a lifetime already. And here I am facing my worst nightmare of being lost. And I was so in the middle of the terror of being lost and not being able to find my way that for 10 minutes I just stayed in panic. And then I slowed myself down enough to hear this voice, which was really loud, and it said, "Leanne, what are you doing? You know that the road is right in front of you because all of your markers are in place. You have this mountain on this side, you have the other mountain on that side, and you know the direction of the road. Just walk." So with that, I got into action, and I just walked. And I'm forcing my way through thick bush, barely getting my bag through at the same time. But I was slowing down, and I was in action, and I was starting to breathe in my heart. And then I heard a voice that was even softer than the other voice, and it said, "Go this way." And it gave me a vision, a picture. And the picture was of a bush that I'd just passed. Now, if I'd been listening to my head, I probably would have, "Oh, but I've just passed that bush, and there must be some other way." But I didn't do that, and instead I walked back to the bush that the vision gave me, and I went the way that the vision showed me, and sure enough, I found the path. So I learned a lot of things from that, and, one was of the strengthening of the practice of trusting, listening, and following my heart. And the other thing that I learned was that to not look for paths already made, to create my own path, to create my path, which is and used to be familiar to us, is having its roots and foundations shaken up as well. And we can't rely and count on those things being around us anymore. And it really is time to create new paths for ourselves, which can only be created by following our heart. So that's kind of the work that I do, Sonia, is in the courses that I run and in the public meetings monthly, the meditation meetings, and in the weekend retreats, is we practice in different ways, listening to our intuition, strengthening our intuition, connecting with nature, connecting with Mother Earth, and following our heart, and also dealing with the, you know, the situations and the things that can come up in life as we follow our heart. Let me say a little bit more about intuition. And we all hear our inner heart or our inner guidance in different ways. And it is so easy to compare ourselves with other people. And so, you know, someone else might experience seeing visions like watching a TV and have it all so clear, and someone else might just be picking up things through feelings and kind of struggling with making sense of that and comparing, oh, look at, they're more psychic or they've got more intuition than me. And it is so important to not compare how our intuition works or how spirit flows through us at all. And what's really important, though, is to allow yourself to learn how your own individual and unique intuition channels through you and how spirit communicates with you. And so the more that we learn and pay attention to how our own intuition works, the stronger it gets. And we have many different intuition channels, so vision is only one. And it's about strengthening and learning about the other intuition channels that that are all naturally part of us. We are all naturally and uniquely psychic, intuitive, and it is a natural part of living and surviving in this life, in this lifetime, and on this planet at this time. So we have an opportunity to discover many of our special gifts as we build and strengthen our relationship with ourselves, with spirit, with Mother Earth. And I really look forward to sharing that journey with many of you as we each travel along that. As far as the future for spiritual practice courses and, you know, what I see ahead is, you know, I asked the eagle once about how do I let go of control? How do I let go of trying to analyze and figure things out and just listen to my intuition and instincts? And the eagle in the sky was flying with some other eagles, and it said to me, "Follow." And so I just watched it as it all of a sudden did a backflip. And I've never seen a bird do a backflip before. And that was pretty amazing. And then it playfully bumped into one of the other birds, one of the other eagles beside it. And then it just gracefully flew off. And the message I got from that was, hold your intention. Let go of any plan, let go of trying to figure out how it's going to happen, and then follow the flow of spirit. And you know, sometimes we can only see the next step ahead of us as it unfolds. So that's really what I'm practicing. I really don't know, you know, where what's going to happen in 5 years or 10 years, but all I can sense and know is that there is a lot of change coming, and I'm taking one step at a time as it unfolds before me as I listen to my heart and follow spirit. So thank you so much for this time here together.
Thanks very much, Leanne. And if you would like to hear more of Leanne's story, if you've personally been intrigued by her and you love her style and wisdom, then tune into her website, www.spiritualpractice.co.nz. And there you can find out about Leanne's courses and retreats that are coming up that are very exciting in the future. Thanks very much, Leanne. Love you lots.
Thank you.
Bye for now, everyone. Bye. Thank you for listening to my program, Spiritual Wellness. And remember, you can contact me on my website, www.healyourlife.net.nz. And do email me with any questions that you may have around spiritual wellness, or let me know of your stories, because I would love to hear them.
That program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
I've loved sharing my opinions and views, and I hope they've been of assistance to you. Have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye for now.